My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kristen Osero. I am joined, as always, by my guy, Jay Binkley. And we have finished the first step down the path to the draft. That is, we just finished the quote-unquote college all-star games, Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl. Shrine Bowl was played last Thursday. The West beat the East 26-11. It wasn't really a great game. Really only one player stood out in that game. The Senior Bowl was played this past Saturday. The national team beat the American team 16-7. Very low-scoring, non-exciting game. A lot of the best players didn't even play. There were some injuries that had happened during practice, and some of the top players opted out. So not the most exciting game, but really, we told you guys a week ago, this was all about the practices, and Senior Bowl practice did not disappoint.
Yeah, and happy one-year anniversary, by the way, for Character Concerns. We started in February of last year.
Almost. It'll be right before the combine.
It's right before the combine. I bet it's February of 2022, or 23, excuse me. Yeah, it's 24 at this point. But the Shrine Bowl, the opt-outs, Michael Penix didn't play in it, and obviously people want to see Some want to see the quarterbacks play in these type of games. Some understand because they were there for the practices, and that's all that matters. That's when those scouts are there.
A lot of scouts leave.
They're
after
there for the
practices
and they see you later. They don't care about the game. And clearly, some of these quarterbacks just played two series. I mean, you're talking about Spencer Rattler was MVP of the Senior Bowl, and he was just 4 for 4,
like 67 yards in a touchdown.
That's it, because he was the MVP because they barely play, and Penix opted out to play in this. But people go down for the practices. You want to see what guys do, like Darius Robinson tearing things up in one-on-one drills at the Senior Bowl. That's why you're there, and that's why the teams go there. But the draft or the combine is set for the end of the month. So that is next up for the developmental stage. And then all the visits guys will do, the pro days, and you name it. So we're at the point now where Super Bowl weekend, and then it's draft season.
A little bit over 3 weeks away from the start of the combine. We will be giving you extensive coverage of the combine as it goes on. The risers, the fallers. That's going to be really when things really hit a fever pitch there, because not long after that, you're going to have the pro days, and then after that, you'll have the actual draft coming up at the end of April. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast, download, give us 5 stars. Make sure you're following us throughout this pre-draft process as we evaluate and give you who we both think should be drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs this coming April. One of the big stories that came out of Senior Bowl week, though, was initially the first couple days, there were some quarterbacks that were kind of struggling there at practice. And I read this on Matt Miller's personal Substack, and he was talking about how none of the quarterbacks really looked that great early on, and a lot of it had to do with the footballs there, about how they were basically brand new, straight out the package. And for those of you who don't know, in football, especially in the NFL, they have to break these footballs in. They got to condition them, if you will. They scuff them up, scratch them up a little bit, so that they have a little bit more friction on them because they're really slick when they come out the package. And guys like Bo Nix, who is projected to be a potential first-round quarterback, didn't really look good. And so Bo, before day three, went out and got a bunch of footballs, and he conditioned them. Him and his people conditioned them. They scuffed them up, and they broke them in so that on day three they would look better. Bo Nix did look better in practice on day three.
He did. It was the tale of what these quarterbacks did, and a lot of times they struggled in the beginning. That's why a lot of day one standouts weren't quarterbacks, because of getting used to the offensive systems and what's ever, you know, being installed there in the All-Star game going forward. I like it. The combine is what I go by most, because but the Senior Bowl is cool though. Like some of the drills. I remember Tomba standing out at the Senior Bowl, and Isaiah Pacheco last year or 2 years ago at the Shrine Bowl. I mean, there are guys that stand out. Obviously, Frank Gore was the big standout in the Shrine Bowl. Yeah. But I don't think the Chiefs are going to go that direction. But the quarterback struggled, like we said. But, you know, Spencer Rattler, you know, 4-for-4. You can't gain anything off of that. You cannot gain anything off of that at all. So it's going to come down. And by the way, Matt Miller had 5 quarterbacks, I do believe, going in the first round. And he had a tie for the record, 7 receivers in the first round. The index, his mock just dropped today. He had 14 receivers going the first 2 rounds, which would be a record.
Yeah. It would be and this is the reason why, like, there's a lot of people I've heard to talk about the Chiefs need to trade up to go get a receiver. It's like, no, not this year. Like, last year they needed to if they were really, really fiending to go get a receiver. There's just so many guys. We don't know who is actually going to break out, save for maybe like 2 or 3 that are probably going to go somewhere in the top 10, top 15. But once we get to like around where the Chiefs' position will be, 31-32, there's a lot of really strong options there for the Chiefs. And I don't think it's time to go for them to panic and, well, we got to trade up to go get a guy, because the guys that are going to be sitting there right around that position probably will be right around the same level as far as athleticism and skill as the guys that they could probably get in the early 20s, late teens. So, I think that really what we kind of saw at the Senior Bowl was that, like, there were a few wide receivers that stood out, but there were a lot, like, offensive linemen, like tackles, big time for guys to really kind of rise up the boards. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I do want to go over, like, some of the guys who I think, and I think you agree as well, made themselves a lot of money with last week's performance. One guy you brought up, Darius Robinson, defensive tackle / edge rusher. He can kind of move all over the place from Mizzou. And he's gotten some interesting comps. One of the names that I've heard comped is Charles Omenihue, which, if you guys know, is Chiefs defensive tackle / defensive end. He unfortunately tore his ACL in the AFC Championship game, so he will not be playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday. But when you look at who would be a Spags guy on the defensive line in this draft, Robinson sure as hell seems like a guy that fits the mold for what they like.
I mean, he really climbed. I mean, you're talking a guy that, you know, probably late second, maybe third.
Probably third round is what I was
talking about, going to the Senior Bowl and standing out against elite competition. And he did. And, you know, now you see him mocked to the first round. Like, I've seen a few. I've seen the Chiefs even.
I think Matt Miller had the Chiefs taking Darius Robinson.
I think they had Xavier Worthy.
Maybe
is who.
Maybe
is
I thought.
Who.
I thought I saw. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe
I
it was
think
someone
Matt
else.
Miller had and going Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, maybe it was someone else. But I know I saw.
I've seen him though. I've seen Darius go.
No, I'm tripping. It was Matt Lane from KC Sports Network. He kind of did. He did a mock on Twitter, and he put his mock out that he did.
Matt Miller had Darius Robinson going to the Ravens
okay.
at number 30.
Yeah. But I like that's one guy that has really jumped so much is Darius Robinson.
6'5", 286.
He's got 34-inch arms, so he fits the physical profile.
8.5 sacks last
year. Yeah. He was listed at 295 during the season. And so if that was an accurate weight and he's 286 now, it means that he's dropping some weight. So you wonder, is he cutting weight so that he can kind of get into the position to be that hybrid guy that can play different roles and kind of fits in where he could play the three technique and play the edge? You kind of wonder if he's trying to like shed some of that bad weight, as the scouts like to call it, so he can have more of that good weight, the muscle and whatnot. Really interesting. I think he's going to be one of the more intriguing guys at the combine here in a few weeks. So that guy really jumped out. Another guy that I saw like a lot of people raving about was Talisi Fuaga, offensive tackle for Oregon State. He was a guy that was regularly thought was probably going to be, what, like the fourth offensive tackle in this draft class? And I think he at least put himself up to number three. And
if not higher than that.
If not higher than that.
And what's interesting, the right tackle.
Yeah.
We're seeing these right tackles.
He's a right tackle.
Yeah, getting this run. Usually you got to play left side.
Yeah, usually it's left.
Early, but, you know, the value of right tackles right now, because, again, NFL teams don't care where they're going to put in their best edge rusher. They're going to look for weaknesses.
Yeah.
And you got to be good at right tackle and left tackle, 100%. You've got to be at those. I think he was, I mean, Robinson and Fuaga, really, I think the top two risers, to be honest with you. In my opinion, I think there's one more.
I think there's one more that is in that range of the elite risers.
That's fair, but Robinson.
But
and
I do agree.
Got most of the press that was coming out.
The other guy though, Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nowhere near the first round. Like nowhere near the first round at all.
I concede that one. You're 100% right with Mitchell. He played in Toledo, so
yeah, small school. Is that a Mac? That's a Maction, right?
It's Toledo out of the MAC in Gary Pinkel's old school.
Yes.
But 6 foot, but a guy that everybody was raving about, who's now got himself a lot of cornerback rings I've seen, like sixth and seventh best corner in the league.
Yeah.
Some people said he could.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could be the first corner taken off the board. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either,
but he got that kind of buzz going to the senior.
He did.
He got himself in the first round. He got himself, I think, in the first round. So you're right. Put him at the high risers. Fuaga, Robinson, and Mitchell.
I mean, he was easily third day going in, and I think now he's put himself into that late first discussion.
Yeah, I mean, and again, Quinyon Mitchell is why you do the Senior Bowl. Because you have limited competition in the MAC, and now you're sitting there going against guys from Mizzou and Ole Miss.
Yeah, he's
Georgia.
Going. He had a good rep, I think, against Tez Walker.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think he...
Who's looked at first round by a lot of people.
Yeah, he looked very good, very physical. Yeah, I definitely liked what I saw from him. Other guys I thought really had a good combine.
Chris, I even put asterisks next to this.
I know you
man.
Did. I know you did. I know you did because you really liked him, and I get it.
You know what? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah. Brain slipped.
Another guy that I thought looked really good, Christian Jones, tackle out of Texas. He's a right tackle, just you know, like you brought up about Fuaga. Though some people think like Fuaga and him could potentially swing, so they could play on the left side.
I see guard play a lot too with these guys.
Yeah, yeah. Christian Jones looked very good, very solid there. Probably worked himself up to day two. He was probably an early day three guy. Tavondre Sweat, a guy that we've talked about pretty much all college season. Sometimes he tried to get cute and tried to use those finesse moves, those, you know, tried to, you know, use the swim move and all of that. And
really
club
solid,
move.
Though. He's really solid.
When he bull rushed, though, he dominated centers one-on-one.
The power.
Dominated power. Guards one-on-one.
Physical play, the power.
Yes.
You could definitely see the power.
Yeah, you could definitely see it. Probably is more of a nose tackle type than he is a three tech, but still, with that kind of ability to push guys back in one-on-one blocking situations, I think that's really interesting. Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of Michigan. Some people think he might be the fastest receiver in this draft class. He looked pretty good.
Maybe low 4.3s.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's what they were saying. It's like low 4.3s, which, you know, if you got that kind of speed, that certainly is going to give you some value there.
Underutilized, he was with J.J. McCarthy last year. 48 for 789, but 12 touchdowns. So he showed how, you know, to get into the end zone. But getting 6 foot, 180. We'll see if 6 foot is actually 5'11 or 5'10. We'll see.
Probably 5'10.
Usually it's not over.
Yeah, usually it's like an inch and a half,
usually,
if not
if
2 inches
to 6
shorter.
Foot, you're not going to be 6'1, 6'2.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that actually is probably going to hurt Xavier Leggett.
But a great route runner.
Yeah, that was one of the things that's probably going to hurt Xavier Leggett.
Speed.
He was listed at 6'3 at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Weighed in, he measured in about 6'1.5. So his measurements are a little bit shorter there. We'll see what the speed goes.
It's pretty typical, though.
I think Leggett actually looked a little bit slower at the Senior Bowl than he did on film. So one guy I think probably as a wide receiver helped himself out the most was Ladd McConkey, man. Like, and it's you don't want to give the wide receiver comp to a wide receiver, but man, Cooper Kupp, with his route running ability, like, Ladd's not super fast, but Ladd looked like a route technician.
Like a Puka.
Yeah. He just looked like he, and it came out of nowhere. A lot of people had him like second, third round, but you weren't hearing him as that kind of player. You were just like, oh, he's really talented, played a Power 5 school. But man, he was so crisp and clean, and he was going up against good corners. I think Ladd, If of all the players, I think who besides Darius Robinson and Quinion Mitchell, and I think Fuaga was in that range anyways. He might jump up one spot.
I put Roman Wilson there too. Ladd. But here, the thing about Ladd is, well, I mean, they're national champions. These guys, like Roman Wilson, just won it. Ladd McConkey's won 2 national titles. You know, the pedigree, the NFL pedigree from his dad. With Ladd McConkey, but both these guys stand up, and they were talked about a lot with these receivers.
Yeah, like there was
didn't see the Dunze and stuff like that. But
yeah, there was this one cut he made, just those out routes. He was really crisp on. He was killing guys on the stop routes. I think Ladd's got a lot of potential at the NFL level. One guy I know that you really liked, Spencer Rattler, quarterback out of South Carolina. He definitely, I think, impressed a lot of people with how he performed at the Senior Bowl practice.
Maybe a little bit shorter than what people thought. But one thing about Spencer, it's not like I really like Spencer Rattler. But one thing, I know he was knocked down a lot.
He was.
When he went from, because he was, we're talking a Heisman favorite when he was at Oklahoma.
He was projected to be the top quarterback taken 2 years ago.
And then it was all like his teammates, did they like him or not, and things like that. And I thought he got a lot of, you know, kind of unfair treatment, I think, by people just kind
of
piling on him.
Reading body language on the sidelines and stuff like that.
And but he resurrected himself, and I'll give him credit. He goes to South Carolina. He learned how to be a winner, man. Xavier Leggett, obviously a wide receiver, you know, helped him out, a nice combination. But it's a tough kid, and I like the way he did. He just put his nose down, he went to work, and you're talking about a guy that I thought, you know, going into it, I said even before this year that I think he's a first-round quarterback. This is something I said a long time ago.
Yeah, you did.
And I still think he could end up at the end of the first round, probably more than like the second round for Spencer Rattler. But I think he's kind of changed those preconceived notions about him.
I think maybe a little bit. I still kind of feel like he's probably going to be like a early to mid-third round guy. I do think size might be an issue for him. And also, I think there's going to be questions about, you know, hey, why did it take you this long to really kind of live up to the potential
I mean, he had to live up. This is the Caleb Williams before Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and it was really tough for him. So there's going to be a lot of, like, I guarantee you, like, the combine process when he's doing all those interviews with those teams, there's going to be a lot of tough questions asked for him because, especially when you start questioning guys' leadership.
How much do you like football?
That yeah, exactly.
It's become a big one.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of questions about that. So I'm really interested to see what the buzz coming out of the combine is for him. Maybe he works himself into the second round if he has a really good combine and a really good interview process there. But I think right now there's like a lot of caution with him. You didn't hear a whole lot of buzz, some buzz about him, but not too much. Because I think a lot of people still are kind of waiting until they get a chance to talk to him.
Hey, the more quarterbacks taken, the better, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think at this point now, you know, we're going to get more tackles taken in the first round.
I think there's big question marks, too. Because J.J. McCarthy, I mean, honestly, a lot of people got this cat going 10 to 15, and we just didn't see those explosive numbers. Except early on, we liked him, though. We liked him as a pro prospect, but, man, they really like the intangibles. They do. They do, but there's question marks because you got to – he's not someone, like, lit it up on the field, you know, throwing for 400 yards a game. You have to project it.
He had a game where I think we had 68 passing yards, and I think it was Penn State.
Yeah.
I think it was Penn State. He had 68 passing yards.
They just went to the ground game.
He had, like, what was it, like 140-something in the national championship game?
They went to Blake Corum
and Donovan Edwards. Yeah, it was not a passing clinic from him the last couple months of the season. So we will see how it pans out there with JJ. But I think it probably helps JJ to not be at the Senior Bowl and not do I honestly don't think he should throw at the combine. I think he should kind of stay away from that and just do the interviews.
Throw to Wellman Wilson at the pro day.
Yeah, I don't think he should throw. If he wants to do the 40, cool. You know, if he wants to do all that, he should not throw. If he throws at the combine, I kind of feel like that might cost him some spots in the draft. I think the mystique of him and the intangibles, as you brought up, I think that's probably more important. Ben Sinnott, tight end at Kansas State, man. Whew. I'll say this, man. His route running looked really crisp for a tight end. And I was very impressed by what he showed. We talked about him a lot this year. He wasn't our favorite. You know, our guys, you know, you love you some Brock Bowers, which is very justified. I think he's a great prospect at tight end. Also, I think both of us are big fans of Jatavion Sanders, which you should be. You watch him on film. There's a lot of games where he led his team in receiving yards. A lot of good things to show from that. But Sinnott could be a good mid-round steal. And I like the value of what he brings, and I was really impressed with what I saw.
Because he can be the traditional H-back. I mean, it's kind of gone by the wayside. People don't use the H-back like before. Another guy that really kind of stood out as far as tight ends are concerned and deserves some run here, we're talking Daniel Jeremiah even wrote about him. Michael Corley, by the way, was one of the wide receivers that stood out.
But Corley.
Malachi, excuse me.
Who's a really good,
and
really Tyler good Guyton, receiver.
And another right tackle.
He's a guy that gets Rashee Rice comps from what we hear, like Rashee Rice, Deebo Samuel type comps. So, yeah, I definitely heard
a lot of...
Theo
Johnson was the tight end out of Penn State.
Theo was good.
Theo got a lot of run from the tight end. Big tight end, too. 6'6", 257. So, and then Tyler Guyton was his other right. Tyler Guyton's a right tackle as well.
He was a right tackle, but they did do some drills with him on the left side. I think Guyton looked really good.
Yeah.
I think Guyton looked really good. He had some, like, there was times where he did get pushed back. I think Darius might have gotten a good rep on him or two when they were doing practice. But I think Guyton looked really strong. Patrick Paul is another one.
6'7".
Yeah. Guyton's huge. Guyton is kind of getting like the DeJuan Jones comps from last year. DeJuan Jones was a right tackle at Ohio State. Ended up being drafted by the Browns. Guyton got a lot of comps with that, and a lot of people liked him. Patrick Paul, offensive tackle from Houston, also looked really good.
He didn't.
Probably solidified himself as a second round guy.
It's another guy who's been mocked to the Chiefs a lot. The
a
first
lot.
Round. If they go offensive line.
2 months ago, he was getting mocked to the Chiefs a bunch after Donovan
and
Smith
Tyler
went
Guyton
down.
Too, because that Oklahoma connection with Guyton, linemen.
Yeah, and the Chiefs really love those Oklahoma linemen.
Brown, so, Creed Humphrey.
Wanya Morris. So,
Wanya.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of, like I said, we'll talk about a little bit more later, but like, yeah, those tackles. Jordan Morgan, another tackle from Arizona, looked very strong there. And then one guy I really liked, guy named Braden Fisk, defensive tackle out of Florida State. He's more of a finesse guy. He's not, you know, going to bull rush his guy, but if he gets a one-on-one against a guard, I like what he can do. Like, he's got a really strong swim move, really fast. Like, you don't see a lot of defensive tackles that have, like, a really good initial move off the snap. Fisk did, and you saw some explosiveness there. And I definitely liked what I saw. He could be a good, like, a matchup nightmare for the slower guards.
He's got smaller arms. Daniel Jeremiah did spotlight him, though, his players that really stood out to him at the Senior Bowl. He was making plays every day. Like, every day, Fisk was doing something.
Another guy that jumped out, and I didn't put it on the rundown or anything, but one guy I just remember that really kind of did another. He was another defensive tackle, Gabe Hall, Baylor. I mean, he's got moves. He's got moves on moves on moves, and that was really exciting to watch because like he's probably like. I was doing mocks on PFF, and he was like projected to go like seventh round. Like, if you could get a guy like him at that kind of value there, that's totally a Veach pick right there. Getting a guy like that, experimental.
Completely Veach guy.
Yeah. And then Liatu Latu, he actually got, I think after day two, he had an injury. Latu looked good, though.
First day he was thrown to the ground, people were making a big deal of it. I can't remember. Was it Guyton that did it? I can't remember who did it.
It might have been Guyton. But
Latu's got the confidence to be in the beast. Oh, says yeah. He's best pass,
he's,
you know,
I think so.
Pass rusher there.
I think he was.
You think he's the best pass rusher?
Yeah, I think he was the best pass rusher there.
I liked
far.
Latu.
He had moves. Like, that guy has moves on moves on moves. Like, he had a great, like, great speed rush off the edge there. And I forgot who was going against him on the offensive side, but he did a good job of shutting down his rip move. And then Latu immediately just spun, hit a spin move and was able to win the drill there. Like, he's got good size. He's one of those guys. He's been around for a little while, so maybe that kind of hurts his stock a little bit with some teams. But I thought Liatu Latu looked really good in the drills that he played in, that he participated in, and there's a lot of really good depth on the offensive line in this draft. I think that there is good depth on the interior in this draft class, because I think there's some pretty good defensive tackles, certainly obviously like Robinson shifting inside outside. There's a lot of good things I think that we saw coming out of the Senior Bowl. And then for the Shrine Bowl, one guy, you brought him up earlier, Frank Gore Jr., running back, Southern Mississippi. He runs just like his dad. He looks just like his dad. Like, he's not
Dad's
like,
an all-time great, man.
Yes, he's one of the best running backs of his era. And Frank Gore Jr. looked awesome, man. I think he probably put himself into the second day. I don't think he's going to be he's definitely not going to be a first round.
I know, but it's going to be a great value pick, and you're going to be talking about him in the NFL.
Third round, someone's going to get him, and he's going to be a steal.
100%.
I really like what he brings to the table. So, how does the draft board change now that we've gotten through the Senior Bowl week / Shrine Bowl week? I think first and foremost, there might be more offensive tackles taken in the first round than we thought. And there's a lot. I mean, there's probably, I mean, what, we've got Fuaga. We've got
Alt.
We got Olufoshanu. We've got, I think, Amarius Guyton. Mims. We got Guyton. We got Amarius Mims, who I think is going to go first round. Who else are we talking? Is that it?
Jordan Morgan.
Jordan Morgan Paul. Probably goes. Patrick Paul, maybe. We'll see about Patrick Paul. I can see him being a second round guy. Is there anybody that we're missing? That might be it. But even let's say that Paul does go. That's seven.
Yeah.
So now you got seven tackles. You've got five quarterbacks. I think you think there's going to be five quarterbacks, right?
I think five quarterbacks. I think six to seven receivers.
So now, let's say the Chiefs, 31-32.
I think at least four corners, too.
Yeah, so four corners, five quarterbacks, so that's nine. Plus, let's say it's the seven tackles.
Well, Terrion Arnold, Nate Wiggins, Khalid McKinstry, and then
Quinn. So now we're at 16. Before we even get to the wide receivers, we're at 16. So now you just got to hope that at least, say, eight or nine other teams don't go wide receiver, and you get some good options there.
It's not a bad situation drafting 32.
No.
31 or 32.
32 for a wide receiver.
Despite what happens in the Super Bowl, that is not a bad position like it would be in other years.
Right. I think
because there's plentiful guys what they're looking for.
Yes. And really, it's like they're really only looking for like one type of receiver.
They're not getting Marvin Harrison Jr. You're not getting Malik Nabers. Not getting Romo Odunze. All those guys are probably going top 10.
Yeah. I think they are. And I think you're in a really good position to kind of get one of those late round.
Keon Coleman's been sliding, man.
He has been sliding.
For no reason. I mean, we'll get to the combine and then tell me where Keon Coleman is, because I think he's going to be higher 20s.
Because like this is the weird thing about the receiver position. Keon Coleman's sliding. Brian Thomas Jr. has jumped. He's now in like mid first round range.
He's 10 to 15.
Yeah, he's been in that mid first round range. Troy Franklin's starting to creep up a little bit. One guy, though, that I've heard a lot thrown out there, Tez Walker, wide receiver from UNC. We've talked about him a lot here.
He was okay at the Senior Bowl.
He was
great.
All right. He was okay. Like, here's the thing about Tez. Tez had some drop issues on day two. A little bit on day three, too, but as well. But day two, he dropped almost everything that was thrown at him. It was bad. Like, I texted you about it. I was like, man, Tez is struggling. And he only had three drops during the season. So, like Daniel Jeremiah was talking about it during the broadcast on day three, about how he talked to some scouts, and they were like, yeah, we're going to trust what we saw on tape, which I get.
You're trying to do too much.
Yeah, I get it. But, like, and maybe this could also play into the issue with like the balls not being broken in, because if they're slippery and they're not on target, or the same thing can happen with receiver too. But I look at it and I talk to some people, like, what do you think about it? And like some people are kind of on the fence, some people aren't really about it. I'm gonna be interested to see what happens at the combine as far as like the physicals numbers and go and whatnot. I'm gonna be interested to see what he does at his pro day. But I really do think that Tez is a viable option for the Chiefs at 31 or 32.
I think Matt Miller, what did I say he had? Xavier Worthy?
Like, I think so.
We saw a lot of Xavier Worthy early on in the draft process.
Yes. I'm pretty sure Tez had the fastest.
He had 22 miles an hour on a catch and run last year. Yeah. I mean, in return to kicks.
Speed.
Well,
he's got speed.
Probably the fastest guy in the draft. Like, if the Chiefs want to get back into speed, Xavier Worthy would be the guy. I will say this, though. If you're looking for the combine on days to do things, it starts there on the
Wednesday, right?
Thursday the 29th.
Thursday,
29th. Defensive linemen, linebackers. Defensive backs and tight ends. Definitely want to watch tight ends on Friday, March 1st. About two. Then the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs at noon on Saturday. That's the one that I think, and then it ends up with the offensive lineman on Sunday. But I really want to see that Saturday going on with the wide receivers. The quarterbacks, again, doesn't matter for Kansas City, but receivers, yes. And running backs, too. I think the Chiefs still could grab another running back.
I definitely think running back is in the cards for the Chiefs this year.
Because it's Clyde's mid-rounds. Not going to be here, and McKinnon's not coming back.
Right, McKinnon's 31. Clyde's going to be a free agent. I don't think they bring him back. So I think they might sign a veteran. And I think they probably draft a guy. And I mean, if they want to go Frank Gore Jr., I'm not going to fight him.
They have no qualms about drafting
guys. I'm not
going to
fight him.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of really good running backs in this draft class. So that'll be really interesting. But yeah, I'm very interested in Tez. I'm going to watch a little bit more tape on him, kind of feel him out. But
a lot of buzz. Matt Brown wanting to play.
I'll say this. From a physical attribute standpoint, I think he's everything the Chiefs want.
Yep.
The one thing you got to question, A, like that that Wednesday, the second day of the Senior Bowl, he kind of got into his own head. He started getting the Kadarius Toney, you know, he starts dropping, he starts getting down, and, you know, next thing you know, the whole day kind of fell apart.
He's trying to prove himself so much coming out of the MAC.
Yeah.
Like coming out of the MAC, and then,
Then
he goes to the ACC, obviously, North
and
Carolina.
He only had 8 games at UNC.
But UNC really wanted him to play and all that. So, yes, he gets a shot at the ACC, but still, it's the guy coming in out of the MAC.
And
that's
I think part of it is like he probably thinks he should be drafted higher because he only played 8 games.
He's got skill.
So that's the reason why I think he went
to UNC as a first round talent. So why Mac Brown wanted him to play so bad?
Yeah. So like that's the thing that really interests me is like, you know, from a physical standpoint, I don't think there's any doubt about what he can do. The question is the mentals. Can he handle the pressure? Can he handle failure? Because, like, I mean, this stuff happens all the time in the league. You're going to have a drop or two. You're going to have a key drop or two. I mean, we saw with MVS this year with the Chiefs. It's like he basically lost the game for the Chiefs when they played the Eagles. And then, you know what? In the AFC Championship game when they needed a first down to seal the game, he went out there and he made a clutch catch and helped the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that you kind of have to have that short-term memory. So I'll be interested to see during the interview process, like what do you hear coming out of the combine from Tez, you know, from people about Tez and how he handled himself? Cause you know, that's going to be such an important time for guys like him. But I do think wide receivers really deep. We talked about Roman Wilson a little bit earlier. I really like what Roman kind of brings to the table there. The thing that interests me, and this is one of the things that we talked about Darius Robinson a lot, and the Chiefs probably aren't bringing back Chris Jones. So would you be comfortable with the Chiefs going, if Robinson's there, 31-32, would you be comfortable with them going there and then maybe trading up and get a receiver?
That'd be back-to-back-to-back edges on the first round. Now, I'm sticking a wide receiver,
man. Now, he's not going to be just an edge. He's going to play on the inside as well.
I'm sticking wide receiver, man. I planted my flag from wide receiver. I'm staying a wide receiver.
Like, I was thinking about it after that Thursday,
I understand the temptation. And hey, listen, I know they're in a Super Bowl with the wide receiver room. That's something
terrible.
Less to be desired.
It's awful.
I get it. I still want wide receiver. I want playmakers this year, Chris.
I get it. I get it. I was just thinking about this after Thursday. I was walking around.
I talked into it, but no.
And I was sitting there, like, after watching Darius Robinson, I'm like, man,
yeah, I know.
That's a Spags guy.
I know. It's a temptation.
That's a Spags guy. And I could totally see them going with him in the first round. And then after that, they get their wide receiver. Maybe they trade up and go get that guy. I that just really intrigues me, and I wonder if we're going to hear some hype going into draft day about that. But he really jumped out there. We obviously talked about Quinyon Mitchell just flying up boards after his performance at Senior Bowl practice. Another guy that really kind of jumped out to me, Chris Abrams-Drain. Mizzou cornerback, we've talked about him a lot. I talked about him when I went to go see Mizzou, Florida. Very physical. He could tackle. He's not that big.
And Enos Rakestraw back in there, too. A lot of people think he's first rounder.
Another guy, a lot of people actually think he's going to go higher than Abrams-Drain. Abrams-Drain, though, looked really interesting because he's a smaller corner. He's about 6'178", is what he was listed at. We'll see what his – I didn't see his official weight at the Senior Bowl, but we'll certainly see it at the Combine. But he was pressing guys at practice. He was pressing all those guys. He was sticking with them. Like, very physical, not giving you any breathing room. And in this NFL, where now teams are trying to play a little bit more man and blitz a little bit more because they're trying to make sure the quarterback gets the ball out of their hands really quickly so they can't throw it down the field, a guy like him, really interesting as a day three or even early day, a day two or even early day three prospect. I think he might be a third round guy, but he really jumped out to me as someone who could be a good steal on day two. We've talked about quarterbacks a lot. I think it's 5. I think Penix during practices and all that, what he did late in the season, solidified himself as a first round pick. We'll see about McCarthy.
I think there's just enough buzz.
I think
on
there
JJ.
Might be. I think so. If that's the case, I think there's 6 in the first round.
They have Caleb Williams,
Jaden Daniels. You got
Bo
Michael
Nix,
Penix Jr. You got Bo
Michael
Nix,
Penix,
and then McCarthy.
And McCarthy, possibly Spencer Rattler.
I'm not on that yet. We'll see.
Keep
we'll
this
see.
In mind too. Had Quinn Ewers come out, he'd throw him in the first round. In my opinion,
probably. We'll see about Rattler. Rattler's going to have to love to answer for it. I mean, what? We've got Fuaga. We've got...
Alt.
We got Olufoshanu. We've got, I think, Amarius Mims. We got Guyton. We got Amarius Mims, who I think is going to go first round. Who else are we talking? Is that it?
Jordan Morgan.
Jordan Morgan Paul. Probably goes. Patrick Paul, maybe. We'll see about Patrick Paul. I can see him being a second round guy. Is there anybody that we're missing? That might be it. But even let's say that Paul does go. That's seven.
Yeah.
So now you got seven tackles. You've got five quarterbacks. I think you think it's going to be five quarterbacks, right?
I think five quarterbacks. I think six to seven receivers.
So now, let's say the Chiefs, 31-32.
I think at least four corners, too.
Yeah, so four corners, five quarterbacks, so that's nine. Plus, let's say it's the seven tackles.
Well, Terrion Arnold, Nate Wiggins, Khalid McKinstry, and then Quinn.
Yeah, so now
Mitchell.
We're at 16. Before we even get to the wide receivers, yeah. We're at 16. So now you just got to hope that at least... say eight or nine other teams don't go wide receiver, and you get some good options there.
It's not a bad situation drafting 32.
No.
31 or 32.
32 for a wide receiver.
Despite what happens in the Super Bowl, that is not a bad position like it would be in other years.
Right. I think
because there's plentiful guys what they're looking for.
Yes. And really, it's like... they're really only looking for like one type of receiver.
They're
now.
Not getting Marvin Harrison Jr. You're no. not getting Malik Nabers. Not getting no. Romo Odunze. All those no. guys are probably going top 10.
Yeah, I think they are. And I think you're in a really good position to kind of get one of those late round.
Keon Coleman's been sliding, man.
He has been sliding.
For no reason. I mean, we'll get to the combine and then tell me where Keon Coleman is because I think he's going to be higher 20s.
Because like this is the weird thing about the receiver position. Keon Coleman's sliding. Brian Thomas Jr. has jumped. He's now in like mid-first round range.
He's 10 to 15.
Yeah, he's been in that mid-first round range. Troy Franklin's starting to creep up a little bit. One guy, though, that I've heard a lot thrown out there, Tez Walker, wide receiver from UNC. We've talked about him a lot here.
He was okay at the Senior Bowl, not great.
He was all right. He was okay. Like, here's the thing about Tez. Tez had some drop issues on day two. Little bit on day three, too, but as well. But day two, he dropped almost everything that was thrown at him. It was bad. Like, I texted you about it. I was like, yeah. Tez is struggling. And he only had three drops during the season. So, like Daniel Jeremiah was talking about it during the broadcast on day three, about how he talked to some scouts, and they were like, yeah, we're going to trust what we saw on tape, which
you're
I get.
You're trying to do too much.
Yeah, I get it. But, like... and maybe this could also play into the issue with like the balls not being broken in because if they're slippery and they're not on target or the same thing can happen with receiver too. But I look at it and I talk to some people like, what do you think about it? And like some people are kind of on the fence, some people aren't really about it. I'm gonna be interested to see what happens at the combine as far as like the physical numbers and go and whatnot. I'm gonna be interested to see what he does at his pro day. But I really do think that Tez is a viable option for the Chiefs at 31 or 32.
I think Matt Miller, what did I say he had? Xavier Worthy?
Like, I think so.
We saw a lot of Xavier Worthy early on in the draft process.
Yes. I'm pretty sure Matt Miller had Tez taken.
He had the
Tez
fastest. He had 22 miles an hour on a catch and run last year.
Yeah.
I mean, in return,
he's got speed. He's got speed.
Probably the fastest guy in the draft. Like, if the Chiefs want to get back into speed.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy would be the guy. I will say this, though. If you're looking for the combine on days to do things, it starts there on the...
Wednesday, right?
Thursday the 29th.
Thursday, okay.
29th. Defensive linemen, linebackers. Defensive backs and tight ends. Definitely want to watch tight ends on Friday, March 1st. About two. Then the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs at noon on Saturday. That's the one that I think, and then it ends up with the offensive lineman on Sunday. But I really want to see that Saturday going on with the wide receivers. The quarterbacks, again, doesn't matter for Kansas City, but receivers, yes. And running backs, too. I think the Chiefs still could grab another running back.
I definitely think running back is in the cards for the Chiefs this year.
Because Clyde's not going to be here, and McKinnon's not coming back.
Right,
so.
Yeah. McKinnon's 31. Clyde's going to be a free agent. I don't think they bring him back. So I think they might sign a veteran. And I think they probably draft a guy. And I mean, if they want to go Frank Gore Jr., I'm not going to fight
him. They have no qualms about drafting
guys. I'm not
going
to fight him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think there's a lot of really good running backs in this draft class. So that'll be really interesting. But, yeah, I'm very interested in Tez. I'm going to watch a little bit more tape on him, kind of get feel him out. But
a lot of buzz. Matt Brown wanting to play.
I'll say this. From a physical attribute standpoint, I think he's everything the Chiefs want.
Yep.
The one thing you got to question, that Wednesday, the second day of the Senior Bowl, he kind of got into his own head. He started getting the Kadarius Toney, you know, he starts dropping, he starts getting down, and, you know, next thing you know, the whole day kind of fell apart.
He's trying to prove himself so much coming out of the MAC.
Yeah.
Like coming out of the MAC, and then he goes to the ACC, obviously.
North and he Carolina. Only had 8 games at UNC.
But UNC really wanted him to play and all that. So, yes, he gets a shot at the ACC, but still, it's the guy coming in out of the MAC.
And I think part of it is, like, he probably thinks he should be drafted higher. Because, he only played in 8 games.
He's got skill.
So that's the reason why
he went to UNC as a first-round talent. That's why Mac Brown wanted him to play so bad.
Yeah, so, like, that's the thing that really interests me is, like, you know, from a physical standpoint, I don't think there's any doubt about what he can do. The question is the mentals. Can he handle the pressure? Can he handle failure? Because, like, I mean, this stuff happens all the time in the league. You're going to have a drop or two. You're going to have a key drop or two. I mean, we saw it with MVS this year with the Chiefs. It's like he basically lost the game for the Chiefs when they played the Eagles. And then, you know what? In the AFC Championship game, when they needed a first down to seal the game, he went out there and he made a clutch catch and helped the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that you kind of have to have that short-term memory. So I'll be interested to see, like, during the interview process, like, how, what do you hear coming out of the combine from Tez, you know, from people about Tez and how he handled himself? Because, you know, that's going to be such an important time for guys like him. But yeah, I do think wide receivers really deep. We talked about Roman Wilson a little bit earlier. I really like what Roman kind of brings to the table there. The thing that interests me, and this is one of the things that we talked about, Darius Robinson a lot, and the Chiefs probably aren't bringing back Chris Jones. So would you be comfortable with the Chiefs going, if Robinson's there, 31-32, would you be comfortable with them going there and then maybe trading up and getting a receiver?
That'd be back-to-back-to-back edges on the first round. No, I'm sticking a wide receiver,
man. Now, he's not going to be just an edge. He's going to play on the inside as well.
I'm sticking wide receiver, man. I planted my flag from wide receiver. I'm staying a wide receiver.
Because, like, I was thinking about it after that Thursday,
I understand the temptation. And, hey, listen, I know they're in a Super Bowl with the wide receiver room. That's something
terrible.
Less to be desired.
It's awful.
I get it. I still want wide receiver. I want playmakers this year, Chris.
I get it. I was just thinking about this after Thursday. I was walking around.
I talked into it, but no.
And I was sitting there, like, after watching Darius Robinson, I'm like, man,
yeah, I know.
That's a Spags guy.
I know. It's a temptation.
That's a Spags guy. And I could totally see them going with him in the first round. And then after that, they get their wide receiver. Maybe they trade up and go get that guy. I that just really intrigues me, and I wonder if we're going to hear some hype going into draft day about that. But he really jumped out there. We obviously talked about Quinion Mitchell just flying up boards after his performance at Senior Bowl practice. Another guy that really kind of jumped out to me, Chris Abrams-Drain. Mizzou cornerback, we've talked about him a lot. I talked about him when I went to go see Mizzou, Florida. Very physical. He could tackle. He's not that big.
And Enos Rakestraw back on there, too. A lot of people think he's first-rounder.
Another guy, a lot of people actually think he's going to go higher than Abrams-Drain. Abrams-Drain, though, looked really interesting because he's a smaller corner. He's about 6'178", is what he was listed at. We'll see what his – I didn't see his official weight at the Senior Bowl, but we'll certainly see it at the Combine. But he was pressing guys at practice. He was pressing all those guys. He was sticking with them. Like, very physical, not giving you any breathing room. And in this NFL, where now teams are trying to play a little bit more man and blitz a little bit more because they're trying to make sure the quarterback gets the ball out of their hands really quickly so they can't throw it down the field. A guy like him, really interesting as a day three or even early day, I mean, a day two or even early day three prospect. I think he might be a third round guy, but he really jumped out to me as someone who could be a good steal on day two. We've talked about quarterbacks a lot. I think it's 5. I think Penix during practices and all that, what he did late in the season, solidified himself as a first round pick. We'll see about McCarthy.
I think there's just enough buzz.
I think there might be. I think so. If that's the case, I think there's six in the first round.
They have Caleb Williams,
Jaden Daniels. You got Michael Penix Jr. You got Bo Nix, and then McCarthy.
And McCarthy. Possibly Spencer Rattler.
I'm not on that yet. We'll see.
Keep this in mind, too. Had Quinn Ewers come out, he'd go in the first round, in my opinion.
Probably. We'll see about Rattler. Rattler's going to have to love to answer for it. That would bode really well for the Chiefs, especially if they win the Super Bowl on Sunday and they get 32. Having seven quarterbacks go in the first round is a great development for the Chiefs. It's something I think, you know, has really helped them in the past when they were late in the first round. And I think that you look at the way this is going, it's kind of trending in a good direction for the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, yeah.
Couldn't get any better.
So next week, now that for sure the season's going to be done.
Yep.
We're going to give you our grades for the rookies on the Chiefs roster from the 23 draft. And on top of that, we'll also recap who the professional draft people are mocking to the Chiefs. Because now that we've gotten through the Senior Bowl, there's a lot of changes. I think wide receiver is still the most popular position. It was tackle for a little bit, but it's now back to wide receiver. So we'll keep you updated on which guys are being mocked to the Chiefs at 31 or 32, hopefully 32. Any buzz that we hear about quarterbacks, any other buzz that we hear about the draft, we will keep you updated on that. But please, if you can, subscribe to the podcast, download, give us the highest rating you can give us. We appreciate it. We're getting into the thick of the pre-draft process now. It started last week. It's going to continue. It's only going to get better from here. More combine talk is going to be coming up here. And then after that, pro days, and then eventually the draft. So we'll keep you updated on
rookie minicamps
is going to be interesting too.
When training camp again.
Yeah. I mean, the offseason flies by.
It does.
And certainly we'll also talk about free agency as well. Because we're a little bit less than a month away from the start of the next league year, and free agency is going to be so important for what the Chiefs do in the draft, because they could fix some of their issues, whether it be wide receiver or whether it be defensive line. They could fix some of those issues in the draft this year. I mean, in free agency this year. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us. We'll see you guys next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.